how the mics are going to pick up the sound, but I need to turn my mic on. So, do women and men learn science differently?
Not that I know of. Not that I can tell. They seem comparable to me.
And what about the cultural diversity in your lab?
There's not much.
And how is that? How true is that across chemistry departments?
No. And I have, right now, I have 3 students in my lab of, 30 whatever, that would qualify as like underrepresented minorities, and that's actually a lot.
Yeah.
Most that right now I happen to have that, but in the past I might have 1, and most labs might have none. I'm the affirmative action advisor, I guess I'm called affirmative action advisor for the department.
Okay.
Which no one really knows what that means, but
okay.
What that means is I do a lot of admissions. I'm also a vice chair. There's 3 vice chairs, and I'm the one who handles the sort of chemical biology. Actually, that's underrepresented minorities is one.
Yeah.
All it means is that I go through the admission, the applications, mm-hmm. and really look hard to find underrepresented minorities that we might be able to get into the department, and then try and recruit them.
Okay. And why is it, what is it about chemistry that, to a certain extent, this is true clearly of all fields in science,
mm-hmm.
but, at least in biology, it seems to be a greater increase in the number of Asian or Asian Americans interested in molecular biology, but that's about the only ethnic minority making progress. What is it about chemistry that does not?
I don't know. Well, chemistry doesn't have a very good public perception.
Mm-hmm.
Most kids don't know what chemists do. We don't do a very good job, I think, at public relations. Biology is great. It's all about medicine and curing human disease, and there's TV shows on PBS about some human genome stuff and everything. And same with, astronomy, and everyone knows it's black holes and it's really cool, outer space. But chemistry, no one really knows what chemists do. We, spill oil in Alaska from oil tankers. That's all, we pollute the environment and make carcinogens. And in movies where, these weird old guys with crazy hair and lab coats buried in the basement, you know what I mean? And so I think that a kid, just in general, growing up in the world, would not necessarily think, oh, I want to be a chemist. You have no idea what that is. There's no TV show about it like ER,
Right.
or LA Law or something like that. And so the question is, where do you get your information about what chemists do? And if you don't get it from your parents or family or something, you don't get it at all. So I think the kids who, we get a lot, like I said, we get a lot of kids from the Midwest. These are the states with the big chemical industry, and a lot of their parents are chemists. Where they know chemists, so they have some familiarity with what that means. Most of our science majors at Berkeley, undergraduate science majors who are African American, they want to go into medicine. They're not interested in a PhD in chemistry. I think doctors are held in very high esteem in virtually all cultures, and it's considered a pretty sure way of getting a high-paying job. And again, what do chemists do? We don't know. What do they get paid? Who knows? no one really knows. So. We probably need to work, and the ACS is very well aware of this problem too. So there's a lot of talk about increasing public awareness of chemistry, trying to make it sexier to young kids so they get interested at a younger age, so that more likely to recruit them in, based on interest.
It's too bad how they banned all those chemicals in the Sears chemicals.
Yeah, chemicals are bad. You want food with no chemicals in it, right? And makeup with no chemicals and.
Did you have those little chemical kits when you were growing up?
No, actually, I had no idea what chemists did. I had no idea. But I do see, at the burrito place down the street, it's like, we don't use chemicals in our burritos. And I'm like, let me tell you, you do. All that stuff is chemicals. But that's public perception is what it is. And so, the ACS, there's a mission of the ACS, which is to improve the public relations with the community, which means get, cool chemistry demonstrations into the K-12 science classes, and have little science fairs, you know, where chemists go on the road with cool demonstrations about like how an airbag works in a car, you know, and stuff like that, which is kind of chemistry. So hopefully that will help, but yeah, it's a problem. I'm sure it's such an ancient problem. How do you even trace the origin of that one? I mean, it's pretty far back.
Well, affirmative action is certainly a contentious issue at the University of California, with the region standing on one side of it and several, including the Berkeley chancellor, standing on another.
Mm.
And so as this affirmative actions are, what is the Department of Chemistry or the College of Chemistry's stance on the notion of affirmative action?
Officially?
Yeah.
Well, officially, you know, we don't have quotas, you know.
Right.
But we do the admissions as faculty, you know, so there's myself and two other guys who sort through all those folders and do the admissions. And, yeah, we pay attention to if we have a qualified candidate who's an underrepresented minority,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we work pretty hard to try and recruit that person. No question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there aren't that many applicants. I mean, we have such a small applicant pool, you know, that it's not like there's all these candidates to choose from. You're lucky to have five applicants who would qualify themselves as a underrepresented minority in a year, and everybody wants them in their department, you know, so you're fighting over them. They all get fellowships. They're great. I mean, they're free if you can get them. I mean, everybody wants them in their group, you know. I was thrilled to have three of them, you know. One is a Ford fellowship, the other one's, but they don't apply to grad school, Berkeley anyways. Where we've had the best luck has been recruiting out of the state schools, like San Francisco State, Hayward State, Chico State. Because some of those schools, like San Francisco State, actually qualifies as a minority institution because their student body is over 50%, like, underrepresented minority students.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually now have minority college status.
Mm-hmm.
And their students are great, and they have actually a pretty strong biochemistry program over there, and they train them really well, and they try and get them interested in graduate programs and so on. And the good thing about that is that, and so, you know, one of us will go over there every year and give a talk on our research, and Cell Berkeley is great, come to the graduate program and so on. And the great thing about that is if we can manage to recruit a student from one of those schools, because they're local, and most of these are commuter schools, the state schools, you know, like kids at SF State, most of them are from San Francisco. They live at home with their parents, or their family lives close by. So that means that they have family in the area, which I think helps tremendously, because one of the problems that I know a lot of these departments and also we have had is that we recruit a minority student away from someplace, some other state, you know, they've come all the way out and come to California, and they're just planted in the middle of this chemistry program with all these white kids from Minnesota, you know, and they're totally out of their element, and they have no network of, no community, no friends network, no family network. So they're already alienated, you know, anyway, then we put them in this environment and further alienate them. And a lot of times they'll leave after a year or two, like, screw it. You know, they just don't feel comfortable here or whatever. You know, they're lonely for their family. Whereas if we can get a student from SF State or Hayward State, their family's here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're kind of this singularity in our department, kind of sticking out like a sore thumb, outside of work, they have a friends and a family network.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a community outside of work, and that's really important, I think. So we have a great success rate with retention of those students, and they tend to do very well. And I mean, you know what I mean? That's kind of how I felt. You know, I came here and I felt like, okay, I'm going to come into this chemistry department, you know, with all these people who are going to be at worst hostile to me or at best just ignore me. But outside of that, I'm going to have a community, which is my community, you know, separate from work, and that's going to sustain me. And I think that's what we can offer these kids if we can get them locally and their families here and their friends are here. So we've had some great students. SF State is a real feeder school for minorities. But again, you know, one a year, we're lucky. It's not that many.
Mm. Okay, well, one final question I'd like to ask is, what does it mean to be a Pew Scholar?
For me, obviously.
Well,
I was going to say, you know, they send you this check, and it's fun because it's you know, you're in a little club, and it means you know, you get to interact with people from all these different disciplines, like, that you know nothing about,
mm-hmm.
and that's really fun. It's like this whole little world and universe that a little open to you. This little window opens to you, and you get to look inside. It's like, oh, that's really cool. I really enjoyed the, for me, being a Pew Scholar was all about like getting to like hang out with developmental biologists once a year. And those, they really have a sense of humor, those developmental biologists. And so, I learned a lot of terms, and we had some kind of inside jokes, like I learned all these terms for like the different parts of your body that develop during embryogenesis, like the notochord, and I never knew what any of these words meant. And these friends of mine are developmental biologists would get up and give these talks about the mesoderm and the notochord, and I'd say, I don't know what the notochord is, but I think mine is killing me right now. You know? And that was like such a Pew Scholar thing, you know. So that, to me, that's what it was all about. It was sort of like making friends in other areas of science that I would never have encountered, and I think in some other way. It also was really good because it sort of, for me, you know, I was kind of an amateur biologist and more of a chemist, and I had biology aspirations, and I wanted to hire postdocs and grad students. I wanted to get grad students from biology department and so on, and being a Pew Scholar kind of gave me credibility in biology. Because biologists had heard, chemists never even heard of that, you know, but every biologist knew what that meant. And so you know, people who might have been considering joining my lab are like, well, she's kind of in this chemistry department, I'm not really sure what kind of biology this is, but she's a Pew Scholar. That's got to mean something, right? So that, I think, was helpful early on for my career. And, you know, again, so now I'm a Hughes investigator. It's the same concept, right? I mean, it's like it gives you some credibility. And when you're on the fringe of a discipline, that is really helpful, where people might not give you the benefit of the doubt otherwise. Yeah. And to be honest, I don't know that I would have been sort of elected as a Hughes investigator if I hadn't been a Pew Scholar, because I got a lot of exposure in biology from Pew. Mm-hmm. And Hughes is a biomedical, you know, that's a biomedical research foundation. There's not a whole lot of chemists hanging around there. Yeah. So maybe Pew, you know, and awards beget awards, so the more awards you get, the more you get. You know, so Pew is really great for me.
How are the Howard Hughes annual meetings?
That's fun. It's totally different, obviously. It's not like a party at the beach. But I mean, Hughes annual meetings, you go to Chevy Chase, Maryland, and just live it up, let me tell you. But Hughes, it's great because you get to hear great science, and you get to meet all these people. And I go to a different meeting every year because there really is no meeting that's really my meeting. Yeah. I don't really fit into their categories neatly. So this year I'm going to cell signaling, and last year I went to structural biology, and the year before that I went to immunology. That's cool. So I've got to see everybody, and Hughes is, I like Hughes. It's pretty incredible, actually, when you think about the magnitude of what they fund. It's even with the cuts, I mean, it's pretty impressive, and they treat you pretty well. Yeah. But Pew was a party, you know. Pew, of all those young investigator things, so the three that compete with each other are Pew, Searle, what else? And Burroughs Wellcome. And you're only supposed to have one of those. So there's some people collect more than one somehow, but the rule is that if you're a Pew Scholar, then you're not supposed to take a Searle scholarship and so on. So sometimes you have to choose which one you're going to be, you know. And it's all about this. The money's about the same, all three of them. And the prestige, I say it's pretty comparable. All three are very well known. But Pew throws the best party by a long shot, you know. Searle, are you kidding? They have, like, their annual meeting is like the Chicago O'Hare, like Hilton or something, and they wear, like, suits and ties. I mean, it's really stuffy. Whereas Pew, you know, like, Sylvia and Ed, like, put on Hawaiian shirts and and muumuus, you know, and then you go hang out in, like, Cozumel, you know. And that was great. That was the best part about it, was those parties. And apparently now they're doing five-year reunions.
Right.
And so I'm, like, counting the microseconds till I get to have my five-year reunion with all of my notochord friends, and oh, we get to go swimming with dolphins and come up with interspecies mating jokes, and, you know, that's the whole thing.
Right. Well, you can take comfort in knowing that rather than cutting back on the expense of the annual meetings and the exoticness of the annual meetings, they have decided to fund fewer scholars.
Spare the party! I know. No, the party was I told you yesterday. I mean, I lived for those meetings. Like, that was, like, my one vacation kind of thing, you know. And everyone there was so nice and so friendly. And, like, those were, like, the first biologists I really met. Like, because I wasn't in the MCB department when I first joined the faculty. I was just in chemistry. And they added me to MCB a couple years later. So for the first few years, I really didn't know anyone in MCB. I was just surrounded by my chemistry guys, you know. And they're nice guys, but kind of a little uptight, you know. And not as friendly as those. And also, there was no young people here at the time. It was older faculty. And so I got to meet all these assistant professors who you could kind of bond with and stuff. That was great.
And did you take your partner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I took her to, like, two of them. she couldn't come to the other two. Yeah, it was great. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, these guys, I mean, Pew, they're infinitely cool. I mean, you know, this is the San Francisco-based operation, so, yeah, no, they're totally cool. And also, these, you know, young biologists tend to be, like, this really funky, cool set. Because, I mean, you've met them, these people, right? So you know what I'm talking about. And young chemists now are getting kind of funkier with time, but there's, like, still room for improvement, you know? I mean, chemists are just a bunch of dorks. You know, we're still a bunch of nerds, you know? And the biologists, somehow, they seem to have, I don't know, they had a more diversified history somehow. I don't know why. They read books, you know? Like, that was... I mean, they just have more fun somehow. I don't know why. The culture's different. Mm-hmm. They have a more relaxed culture. Mm-hmm. Not... I don't know why, because in many ways it's they make life miserable for themselves with all this, like, if you don't get a paper and sell, then you're dead, you know what I mean? Which is unbelievably stressful, but somehow around that they manage to be this sort of, like, funky set.
Mm. Okay, well, I've come to the end of my questions, okay. And I'll turn it over to you and ask you what you would like to add that we haven't talked about.
Do you get to go to any of these Pew meetings or anything? Is that, like, a perk of your job?
Yeah.
Do you get to go to the five-year...
It just depends on
when you finish this oral history thing, then are you cut off from Pew?
Yeah.
They won't invite you as an honorary...
I doubt it.
As a former participant in the oral history, you don't get to go to the five-year... I'll talk to Ed and Sylvia about that. It seems like an oversight, because you've met all the people, so you're sort of part of the class now, right?
Right.
You've heard all of our stories. You know more about us than anybody, more than my mother knows, actually, now, because I have nothing else to say. And you should be invited to these things.
I second that motion.
Okay. Do you know where the next one is?
Puerto Rico.
I've never been to Puerto Rico. When is it? 2005?
2004.
Well, that's like next year.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't invited to the last one because it was the last year of my Pew thing.
Oh.
So my class didn't get... We just missed the boat on that party.
The five-year one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know... At a Pew Scholar meeting in Puerto Vallarta, they had me on the 41st floor of the Westin Hotel, and I was overlooking, like, that bay, and, like, wafting across my window was, like, a parasailer. I was like, this is the life, you know? And I was like, wow. I mean, that was, you know, I'd never have a vacation. You know, when I go on vacation, I some cheap motel somewhere, you know? That was cool. Yeah, Cynthia came and went scuba diving. At one of those meetings, I went snorkeling. And, you know, I miss those days.
Okay.
It sure beats the O'Hare Hilton.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't really have anything to add that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay, that's good. Well, we appreciate you taking the time out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
So, you have to listen to this thing again, huh?
Yeah.